this cycle of defensive failure is that you think people like you don't do things like this. And this one comes down to your identity. And we care a lot about our identities, don't we? And part of the reason you care so much about your identity is because it was hard won. So let's talk about how you form an identity. Now, looking around this room, it looks like everybody has successfully made it out of adolescence. Is that true? This guy back here is like, define successfully. So here's what happens in adolescence. You had an identity before adolescence, but you basically absorbed it from the people around you, right? Like, mom says I'm creative. All right. Dad says that I'm an athletic person. Yeah, okay, that sounds right. But that switches in adolescence. You begin to start asking really hard questions about who you are, and you do it socially. So you ask yourself, am I like this person? Am I like you? Am I like you? Am I like you? And you take on a little piece of their identity, and you see how it feels. So you might take on, like, lying to your parents and skipping school. Or you might try on some really thick black eyeliner and dye your hair jet black, shut your door, and play the emo music on repeat in your room. You take on bits and pieces of the people around you, and in so doing, you do what Erik Erikson refers to as identity fracturing. It's really uncomfortable. It creates a lot of friction in your mind because you don't know who you are. But the good news is that eventually, sometime around your junior or senior year in high school, you begin to release the pieces of your identity that are not serving you. Maybe you stop hanging out with the kids who are skipping school. Maybe you decide, you know what, I don't like football, and I'm not going to hang out with the football team anymore. Each piece of that identity that you let go of comes at a loss to you. Those friends that you were hanging out with and skipping school that may have mattered a lot to you, you might feel like a real traitor. The football team that you stopped hanging out with, that might lose credibility for you at your high school. And that process of what Erik Erikson refers to as identity cohesion is very difficult, but it does result in an identity, a belief about who you really are. And that matters to you a lot, and you will do nothing that threatens that identity. Now, I see some of you out there saying, like, this is all very interesting, but what does it have to do with following through on my goals? Well, when I first became a coach, I struggled a lot to get clients because I consider myself to be a heart-centered helper type. And now being promoting myself and selling my services, it felt really inauthentic and pushy. Am I going to do something that feels inauthentic and pushy? No, never. And that's how you get locked in a cycle of defensive failure. So you say, I'm going to go to a networking event, one each week this month. Then the day comes for the networking event, and your brain's like, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. That threatens our identity. And anyways, Amanda, you're so tired. You've been so busy. You should really take care of you. And before you know it, the networking event is happening somewhere, but you're not there. You're at home on the couch in your stretchy pants, knee-deep into the 13th episode of the first season of Friends. Again. Now, no judgment. We have all been there. But it does explain why you're not making any progress. So if this sounds like you, if this might be a mindset block that you're struggling with, what you have to do is find people like you doing things like this, and you have to share your concerns with them. For me, I had to find a heart-centered helper type who was great at promoting her business and learn from her how I could bring these things in line. And if you can find a way to bring the thing you want to do in line with your identity, you'll find going to the networking event much, much easier. And that's the second reason you're locked in a cycle of defensive failure.